home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is a bye week around here, and it is a rare bye week that I'm looking for excuses, reasons. I'm looking for a doctor around here. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. It's my birthday week around here. I feel that way with the team being 1-5. Oftentimes, I reach to friends for therapy. Get by with a little help with my friends. JT the Brick has been my friend for a long, long time. Back to when the Oakland Raiders were in Oakland. Now that they are in the Las Vegas Raiders, he's traded up, at least in the desert. I was out there momentarily at the Sphere with my wife last week seeing the Eagles. I don't know who's worse, your football team or mine. I think your football team's better than my football team right now, Brick. And you might not have said that 6 weeks ago, man.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the Raiders aren't playing well. I'm really disappointed because they have Pete Carroll, who's an excellent coach. The organization has got a lot of leadership from Tom Brady. You might have heard of him in Baltimore. We got Chip Kelly, who just came off a national championship, was a head coach in the NFL, an offensive wizard. And we brought in Geno Smith, who's been a pretty good player for the last couple of years. Good enough to get a deal to come to the Raiders, good enough to be a Pro Bowler. And he can't throw to anybody and leads the NFL in interceptions. So it's a struggle out here. And happy birthday. We're on our way to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. And the Chiefs just played a game that we've never seen before. They had no turnovers, no penalties, and only punted once. And that hasn't happened since leather helmets. So that's what I'm walking into.
The Chiefs are a different thing. I mean, the Bills, the Eagles, most of the Lions, all these teams have had their high horse taken away. Nobody's going 17-0 this year, you know. Even you know, but this thing here at 1-5, this hasn't happened here much. And certainly the injury to Lamar is a part of that over the last couple of weeks, but this football team here has not looked good since week one in the second half. The blown leads, the defense has been horrific. Both of the lines are getting pushed around here for my squad. I mean, I look at it and say this was a Super Bowl contender that 6 weeks into this, we're trying to figure out how a 1-5 football team can make the playoffs, Rick.
Yeah, a little self-plug. I host a weekly podcast with Rod Woodson, our mutual friend, called Laying the Wood. Please subscribe to it wherever you can. He travels with the team. He lives in Vegas. So every game for Rod's a road game in Baltimore or on the road as he's coming from here. And I sit down with him every Wednesday, and I think he's in shock too. It's all about the injuries. The foundation of the Baltimore Ravens is rock solid. They got very good players. I think 2 weeks ago or last week, I saw their inactive report, and it looked like a Hall of Fame list of players who couldn't play, who were down. So I think they have one last chance coming off the bye week to save the season, but it's almost like they got to run the table or close to run the table. The good news is you're only chasing the Steelers, and I think the Steelers have gotten a lot of good luck here and a lot of breaks, and they're going to lose some games here. You just can't afford to lose any more games, because I don't believe the Ravens will be good enough to get a wild card. The only way they're going to make the playoffs is winning the division. You don't have to worry about Cincy or Cleveland. You just got to bring back Mike Tomlin and the Steelers to the pack, and maybe you can be there the last week of the year.
Well, I said all week, look, I took Harbaugh behind the woodshed here this week for everything from Justin Tucker, you just how they've behaved at every level, the lack of accountability. Ask Rod about the guys running out the back door after they lose and not seeing the media as well, because and Rod Woodson would have never have done that. No one would have allowed that in the Ray Lewis era or the Shannon Sharpe era around here. And I had your old buddy Marvin Lewis on earlier this week, and you know it's not like licking your wounds when you're 1-5 and you think you've been good. You've had a couple of Super Bowls here. This is the Lamar era sort of getting away from them. And I said this week, I think they'll be 7-7. And I'm expecting guys like you to think that or everybody out of town because there's this purple mystique about Harbaugh and this organization and what Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson and those guys left here 25 years ago that they don't stay down long here. 1-5 doesn't become 5-12 here ever. And so the pedigree part of this says to me, bad schedule ahead, bad quarterbacks ahead. But my eyes also say they haven't had a pass rush in 7 weeks. They haven't been able to run the ball so well because of the offensive line, not because of King Henry. So I do think you get by on pedigree to some degree that even in 1-5, anybody else is 1-5, they're buried. You and I are like, hey, they're 1-5. They got Harbaugh, they got Lamar, they have all this pedigree, and you are right. It's $150 million worth of player on their IR 2 weeks ago or on their not playing this week list.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention John Harbaugh. I don't think he's the reason you come back at all. I think it's Lamar Jackson. When he's healthy and he has the ability to go on a run and just put on a Superman cape, that's the only chance I see for any chance for the Ravens to come back. I'm not as big on John Harbaugh as I was 4, 5, 8 years ago now because I don't think the players are lined up well. I don't think the scheme is sound. I know there's injuries and some mistakes here, but I'm not blown away with John Harbaugh, and I've been very impressed with John for most of his career here. I'm not overly impressed with Jim all the time. Look at the Chargers. Every game they play, they're losing till the final minute. They needed a miracle in Miami. They barely won some games this year, but everybody on national radio kisses both their asses all the time, the Harbaugh brothers. But they win, and Jim Harbaugh's won, and John's won a lot. But for the Ravens, they just can't lose. They have to sweep these division games that are remaining, which they're capable of doing, and you have the schedule in front of you. I don't. I mean, just knock off a couple of games, and I'll tell you if they win or lose them when they're coming
Bears,
back here.
Miami, Minnesota.
Yeah, I think they'll win all those games. I think the Bears are better. Minnesota is always competitive. Miami, they'll slaughter. Let's keep going.
Yeah,
Who?
right. Well, there you go. I mean, I got you to 4-5 already. JT the Brick is here. How are you? I mean, you mentioned Pete Carroll, you mentioned Geno Smith. I had Marvin on the show 48 hours ago this week, and just talking about their exit last year. He out loud just said, and it was kind of flippant for Marvin. He's like, I didn't think what happened there was fair, in regard to being given a year. Your thoughts about that? Look, I like Pete. I did a radio show with Pete 25 years ago. I've always been a Pete Carroll guy. Even at his age, he brings an energy that's half of it. I expect him to turn it around, but I don't know what the quarterback play you're getting right now, JT.
Yeah, for Marvin, I get a lot of respect for Marvin. A lot of that, and Antonio Pierce, I've interviewed the head coach exclusively for years now. I get the head coach. That's my big perk, from Jack Del Rio, our friend, to Lane Kiffin, to Tom Cable, to all of them. And the
That was
last
Gruden the
group,
first time and a second time, wasn't it?
yeah, the
Right,
first coach I
okay,
ever
yeah.
worked for was Gruden.
Right.
And it would have been nice. Gruden had this team as a playoff team the year his emails got leaked right down the road from you, by the Washington Commanders server, through my mentor, the guy who hired me, Bruce Allen, and that took out Gruden, which gave us a run of Rich Bisaccia, Josh McDaniels, Antonio Pierce with Marvin. They lost 10 in a row. You lose 10 in a row if you're Aaron Glenn, if you're Antonio Pierce, or whoever you are, you're not going to be around. So I thought that group, I like that group a lot. Joe Philbin, who's still on this staff. Marvin, Tom Coughlin was involved because Antonio Pierce leaned on him. Now it's the Pete Carroll era, and he has a chance. This is the first time he's ever coaching the Raiders in Kansas City. And Pete's had great rivalries throughout his lifetime. The famous ones, USC, Stanford, Seattle, with the rivalries with the Niners. Now he gets to jump into this one. And really, the best chance the Raiders have is Pete Carroll because he's beaten all the coaches in the league. He can walk out to the 50-yard line and say, John and Jim, I've beaten you. Andy, I've beaten you multiple times. Kyle, I've beaten you a lot. And that helps when you build, Ness, a game plan and motivate a team and break down tape and do it. We've been down with Brock Bowers. He's been out the last two games, one of the most phenomenal players I've covered in my 28 years with the Raiders. He's better than what I'm even insinuating. Our starting left tackle, you have Ronnie Stanley, who came right down the street from Bishop Gorman. We have Colton Miller, our best player. He's on IR. And, we just, Geno is not playing well. And that's what pisses me off because I've seen Geno throw for 4,300 yards 2 years ago and 30 touchdowns at 70%. Do that with Brock Bowers and our other weapons, and we're good. If you're going to throw it to the other team by week 5 and lead the NFL in interceptions with 9, we got a big problem out here in Vegas, and fans aren't happy. So Geno's got to get this train on track real quick.
I was in Vegas for 48 hours, and I've been coming to Vegas for 30 years back when Vegas was never going to get a sports franchise because it was Vegas. Now I see baseball apparently is coming. I was outside the Golden Knights where I hoisted the Stanley Cup at one point there, and I saw the Mandarin's not the Mandarin anymore. They've changed the name. Some of the names have changed, and everybody's still guilty. The Raiders part, when I went there, it was the first game, right? Like, so I was there, the dome's new, all of that. Give me a little primer about sports in Vegas, because you sort of beat the teams there, right? Like, you were on your way there before anything got there. You were making your home there when the Raiders weren't. You sort of beat them there. Give me the vibe, because I think around the country we see the headlines like nobody's going to Vegas, and then there's some cheap rooms. And then I got out there last week, the place was packed, but then I was in line with all these really, really good-looking girls. And I'm like, man, this hotel's crawling, dog, you know? And then there were more good-looking girls. Then the boys showed up and the girls showed up. I got in line. I started talking to some of the young girls half my age, girls I would have been talking about the first time I went to Vegas back in the 90s. And they're all like, yeah, we're from Arkansas. We're here for free. They gave us free rooms. There's been a promoter. We got this free, that free, this free, that free, that free. And, you know, their boys are here. And I'm like, oh, they're raiding the colleges, are they? I walked around Vegas last week, and it was a little like Daytona Beach in March, but they had it in October because they let people come for free. I feel like Vegas always reinvents itself to bring people in, but I don't know what that means for the Raiders locally, other than in your era, people flying in from LA, from Oakland, from all. Is it transient Raider fandom? Because I think what they're trying to do in Vegas from a sports perspective, there aren't a whole lot of people who live in Vegas.
Yeah, we're fine. I mean, Vegas is rocking. We've now, there's always going to be a dip in the economy, the stock market, the real estate market. Vegas has been booming. We had something called COVID. We came out of COVID. When you remember when Baltimore got shut down with COVID, it's different than Vegas. Imagine every single room, not every casino, every single casino and room empty throughout COVID. And then we came back, we were bigger than ever. And now, Vegas kind of started to do bad things. They started to really gouge. And I've done podcasts on it and shows about it. I've been a local. I commuted to Oakland for 17 years covering the Raiders. I was here in 96 after I won Jim Rome's first smack off and started in radio. So I've been here with Pete Rose when I got my big break, all the boxing. And now with the sports and entertainment capital of the world, the Aces just became a dynasty a couple of days ago. They won three out of four. The Golden Knights have played in two Stanley Cups and won one, with a favorite to win it this year. UFC is now a $4+ billion, now $5 billion entity based where? Las Vegas. The Raiders went from 31st. Follow me here, everybody. 31st. We were worth less than $2 billion. Built our stadium for $1.9 billion. Now the Raiders are worth close to $9 billion. We're 3-4 when the next Forbes list comes out. 31 to 3-4. And then baseball's coming here. Raiders have been in a little bit of a war with the A's over the years. We'll see how that plays out. UNLV football, 6-0. 6-0, and they'll be in the top 25. So we're great. We got a concert in every casino, residency theater. We got the Sphere. But what we started to do is take advantage of people. Our best customers are March Madness, the rodeo, Final Four, March Madness, everything we have. And then we started giving them these hotel fees, and we started making them pay for parking, and we started giving them resorts fees. Then we started charging water in the room at $18 instead of $8, which is a ripoff.
And by the
Eight.
way, when you're in Vegas, you gotta drink water. The minute you get there, like, gouging you for water in the hotel room is the worst thing ever, because you will be thirsty in Vegas. Not because you're drinking, because it's dry. Period. My lips dry. My lips. This happened in Vegas for me having dry lips, literally.
And you can drink right out of any faucet. I have water softening in my house. The water's fine. We're in 2025. You can drink from the water faucet anywhere in the United States of America. We're not a third world
Well,
country.
not
But what
Flint,
was,
Michigan, but go ahead. I mean, there's some
there you
places.
go.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying.
So we started gouging people probably a month ago. I went to breakfast at the Cosmo. My buddy's a gambler. And I ordered an omelet, just a basic cheese tomato omelet with some wheat toast and home fries. It was $56.
Oh, were you at
And
Egg
I was like,
Slot? Where
oh,
were you?
We were at an egg place. Harry's right there in Cosmo. And I'm sitting there going, wait a second, I'm a local. Do we have like a local discount? Can I show you my ID? And I think we got away from that. And you bring up something really sharp that you know that no one's even talking about in Vegas. My wife picked it up the other night. We were at Resorts World and we talked to a buddy of ours who's a pit boss. And I go, how's it going tonight? He goes, great. We got four colleges here. I go, excuse me? He goes, yeah, we're doing promotions with colleges. We're sending these colleges from all over the country out here. We're putting them up in the rooms. We're giving them tickets to our nightclub. We're giving them some coupons for here and there, and we're filling the hotel up. So Vegas had a little bump in the road. We're back to answer your question in sports. Now look, the Raiders still have the number one expensive ticket in Vegas. If Baltimore is coming to town, Washington, Jacksonville, that's the game everybody circles. And everybody wants to go to that game. Problem is, Raider fans sell their tickets at three times the price to that Jacksonville, Tennessee fan from Nashville. And then they pay for half of their year of PSL and season ticket cost. And we got a lot of opposing colors in our building. But this year, Pete Carroll's trying to change it. We just need to win games, Ness. We need to win some games because Mark Davis is trying. He brought in Tom Brady, who has a lot of power and control, even though he works for Fox, even though he has all these global business partnerships. His head's now in the building, non-season when he can't for Fox, and he is going to fix all this because Brady is an owner. He's not a consultant, and he owns a big chunk of the team going forward, and I think he'll be the right guy to fix it.
Matter of fact, he called the game this week. So, since Chad
Yeah.
Steele threw me
He's
out, and I don't go to games anymore, I get to watch them on television. My wife like grew up in that area, and it's so funny with Brady because she's like, "Oh, we got him today." And 5 minutes into the game, I said to her, "No." Like, I didn't think he was very good at doing this a year or two ago. I don't think he's a great analyst against other great analysts, but I think he has great analysis. And he said some things in the middle of the game, especially when it's football related, especially when there's motion behind the line of scrimmage or he's seeing things defensively. I thought it was like brilliant. I wrote stuff down that he talked about. And one of the things that he talked the most about as a veteran quarterback was what Matt Stafford was going to do to the Ravens defense when the Ravens couldn't pressure him. And he said he's up at the line of scrimmage right now. Now, look, he's examining the defense and he's looking to get them into a premium play. And then Cooper Rush comes on the other side or Tyler Huntley. They're just trying to get the ball snapped. So there's a level of his intellect that you see and feel as a fan, just watching and saying, that's how he kicked our ass, man. And there's nothing like experience in life, whether it's you doing sports radio in the dark, me, we can do it with a mic, without a mic, on the internet, on StreamYard, YardStream, YardBarker, Zoom. We can do it anywhere. He's that way with football, man. And watching him do football analysis, it made me smarter spending 3 hours with him on Sunday, no doubt.
Yeah, I think he's only going to get better at doing that. He's not going to get worse. He's only going to get better. And remember, he didn't have any reps. Most guys had enormous reps doing what he's done. A lot of guys started off on the local broadcast working with me. I'm the play-by-play voice during the preseason of the Raiders. You'll put in an analyst, a former player. I mean, I started with Rich Gannon when he was the player. Then Rich Gannon went to the Raider broadcast. Then he went to CBS, which he was great at. And then he cycled out of that. I still think he's one of the best analysts I've heard. And all of a sudden, they don't bring him back to CBS and they're putting some of these other guys who aren't good. Now, Fox has got Greg Olson, CBS has got Tony Romo. Tom Brady's going to be fine with that. But think of the investment return on Tom Brady with the Raiders. He's also got a piece of the Aces that just started a dynasty. He's running all his TB12 businesses. He did a flag football deal with Saudi Arabia. Wait till you see that. He had his press conference in our stadium before our Monday night football game. So I think he's going to be really focused on his broadcasting during the year. But the second he's allowed back in the Raider building, because part of his deal with the league is when the season's going on and he's broadcasting, he can't do that. But he's going to be embedded with the Raiders. And hopefully he and Pete Carroll get it going again because we are ready, man. The Oakland Raiders and the LA Raiders, we just had a Hall of Fame ceremony for Eric Allen, who got his ring last Sunday. I mean, you blink your eye, you look on the field, it's Marcus Allen, Eric Dickerson, who also played for the Raiders, but other teams, Fred Biletnikoff, looking around at all the Hall of Famers that are there. And I'm saying to myself, there's James Lofton. Oh, yeah, another Raider. The Raider Nation is ready to explode. We're right there. And we got Pete Carroll at the right time. And we're sitting at 2-4. We got a block kick to win the game against the Bears. We would have been 3-3 during our conversation today. 3-3 would have looked damn good compared to a 1-5 Ravens, a Bills and Eagles team that have lost two in a row. But let me throw it back to you. How wild, I said it today, is this season? How much bad football have you watched this year with the Jets and the Dolphins and the kicking games around the country? You mentioned the Ravens, some of the other teams, even the Broncos beat the Jets 13-11. The Broncos couldn't do anything, and the Jets put up one of the worst stat lines in NFL history.
If you had told me 6 weeks ago Flacco was going to start games for the Browns and the Bengals, Steelers might need him by the time we get there. I mean, it sounded like Tomlin had his feelings hurt a little bit last week as well. JT the Brick is here. He is out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Don't hold that against him. The Spheres got more Eagles dates out there. I would say this on the Vegas thing, just to drop the ball on that. Like, Vegas was vibrant. Vegas was Vegas. And anybody that thinks they should go to Vegas should go to Vegas. So there's my.
No.
There's my travel advisory for everybody going to go to Vegas. If you think you should go, go. How about that? Does that work?
I like that. And what do you, let's get into in our few minutes left on Rush. I mean, me and you, I've seen 54 shows. You know, this will get me to 60. Neil passed. I'll go first. Great musicians need to play their music to stay alive, to be alive and to keep their blood pumping and to have communication skills and not to lose their skill set in playing art. Geddy and Alex had they took a long break. Now they need to perform their music. They bring in a female drummer who's Jeff Beck's drummer. She's really jazzy and sharp. It's kind of karaoke drumming. She's playing all of Neil's parts. I'm sure she's going to be fabulous. They're going to be playing all your favorites, but man, they're playing big venues, Madison Square Garden 2 nights. So they're hoping that you and I, Rush fanatics, Getty heads are going to go buy up all these tickets. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking I'm not spending $800, and I've had three friends all nervous about the on sale and all that. I said, it's next year. They're doing 100,000 tickets in every city that they're doing, including Mexico City. I'll get there. I won't go to Texas because F Dallas, but the rest of it's my way. I'm going to see him in Toronto. I never saw him at Maple Leaf Gardens, and I had a chance. I didn't. I should have gone out for that Foo Fighters Taylor Hawkins tribute. I should have done that at the Forum. I didn't. So I have another chance, and I'm going to roll the bones, and I probably will get to a couple shows. So I'm down. I don't want to feel gouged as a fan because I don't think that's what this was about. I think the Ticketmaster thing is where the scalping and the gouging comes in. I think once the band gets ready to play, Geddy is the ultimate taskmaster. You talk about a band that never hit a sour note, never went out and embarrassed itself, never went out with other members, stopped playing at one point when Neil lost his wife and lost his daughter. So, have you finished Geddy's book?
I did
I
finish
haven't
it
finished it yet.
fabulous.
I'm a fingerer with books sometimes at this point. I'm about halfway through it. I put it down, I pick it up. I will finish it before next year, but I would say to you, as a Rush fan, and I know you're a huge Rush fan, I really didn't think it was going to happen. This is one of those ones where, like, I'm sort of taken aback and shocked and pinching myself a little bit. I'm just not trying to screw it up. I want them to live happily, healthily, get there. And to your point, and despite the ball and what you said, it's my birthday today. So today's my 57th birthday as we
Yes.
record this. Thank you. I have seen Paul McCartney. I have seen the Eagles. I have seen the Who, Roger and Pete.
Pete.
I've seen Joe Perry slash Steven Tyler got on stage with them out at the Hollywood Bowl. So I've seen him. So I've seen more, I don't say octogenarians because I don't think some of these guys might only be 78 or 79, but I've seen enough septuagenarians and octogenarians perform music over the last 6 weeks that I'm good. You know what I mean? Like Sir Paul, Roger and Pete, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, and the remaining members of the Eagles, what's left of them, I've seen all of that in the last 4 weeks. And I've gone to Albuquerque, LA, and Vegas to do it. So I'm locked in on having witnessed Tom Petty and then watched him die 4 weeks later. You know what I mean? So I'm weirded out about all of this as I get older on my birthday. I'm not skipping meals or skipping concerts, and I'm not skipping Rush reunions for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. The last 3 weeks, I've seen America. If you haven't seen America, see them. That was really good. They played the old joint at Virgin, used to be the Hard Rock. I saw Motley Crue's residency. I went in there with no expectations because of Vince. Vince was okay. It was okay, and the band sounded good. That was fun. I saw Paul McCartney at Allegiant Stadium in front of 60,000. He was fantastic. And at, get this, halftime of the Raider games. We're not talking one song. We're talking three song sets. Met, hung out, and took a photo and listened to George Thorogood. And last week we had Earth, Wind, and Fire. So that's my last three
Vegas, man, the
weeks of
Raiders can get
bands.
anybody to play half. You get Carrot Top to play halftime if you want, right? Like literally, right?
Anybody you want. But let's hope we get some football wins because you should be covering the team in the locker room. Whatever little wrist slap they put you on. I didn't get, I've been a credential for every fight in the history of Vegas since I moved here. I didn't get a credential for this last Canelo fight because they were doing it through UFC. Long story short, I'm like, normally I would have burned down my house, been upset, but I'm like, I'm going to be 60 November 23rd. And I said, I've seen everything in the world. I'm not going to fight little battles. You need to be in the locker room. I know you're not fighting it, in the locker room, covering the Super Bowl on Radio Row, doing what you do best. And if there was a misunderstanding, Chad, who I bumped into throughout my career, you, who I consider a good friend, should figure it out because life is too short. And whatever it was, I told you I'd get John on the phone, I'd get Tomlin on the phone, I'd get Jack Del Rio on the phone, I'd get Brian Billick on the phone because you got a lot of friends in the business, my brother.
I'm not bending, I'm not breaking, I'm not lying for anyone. So they know, and they're 1-5, and that's the real story. And the real story goes beyond that, especially with the Justin Tucker residue around here. He might be your kicker. He might be. I don't know. You got to be a playoff team to be to hire Justin Tucker. So Justin Tucker, how about this, Brick? You want to make a Vegas bet? He's got a 10-game suspension right now for my audience here, because you're the rambling gambling man out there in Vegas. Justin Tucker going to kick a football in this league this year? Yes or no?
Yeah,
Okay. Is he going to
whatever.
kick a football in a playoff game in this league? Yes or no?
I normally playoff teams don't need a kicker and need to replace a kicker unless there's an injury. So I'd probably say no, but I think he'll hook on with a good team. He could hook on with a team that's now 3-3 or a team going in the right direction for next year and probably kick another 2 to 3 years. Very accurate player. I'm sure in great shape. Can do it. Look, every kicker now
Will he
is
kick
making
a
60-yarder.
game-winning field goal in this league again?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't even
Yes.
Vegas wouldn't even give me odds on that. It'd be underwater to think about that. So
Yeah.
that's where Justin Tucker's career is. And I just want to because people are wondering, they're coming out of it. Hey, he'll never kick again. He's in shame. Because here in Baltimore, what he did was not a good thing, Brick. You know, I'm out on the
Yeah.
streets here. It's not. As I wrote to John Harbaugh, who's denied all the stuff that Justin Tucker denied and fingered the woman who wrote the story, and all the media people are creeps and the like, all just denied all of it, right? I said even Roger Goodell believes the women. That's why he got a 10-game suspension. 10-game suspension. Rashee Rice only got six, dude. You get suspended by the league for 10 games? That's not a slap on the wrist. That's a punch in the
No.
balls, literally.
Yeah, I'm not condoning what he did. I'm not even familiar with all the aspects of the case there at all. But I'm just saying, after you serve a
You
suspension in
should read
sport.
up on it, Brick, because I tell you what, dude, you're a man's man like me. And if
Yeah.
you went into a massage parlor and asked a 24-year-old girl to, would you expect the cops to be waiting in the lobby or an ass kicking? And if you're in Chinatown, definitely an ass kicking. I've always said I was expecting Mr. Saito or Mr. Fuji to be there ready to beat my ass if I play that game in a Chinatown massage parlor. Seriously, right? You do it one time, you expect that. We got 16 women here and more who have not come forward who said that it happened.
Yeah, I side with the women on all these issues, especially when they go on the record with that. If you ask me if he'll kick again, I'll say he'll kick again
Yeah,
after
he
he
will kick
serves his
again. Right,
suspension.
right.
I
Well, I'm
just
just
don't know
letting you
what team
know
he's
the
going to do it on.
severity of what he did. That's all.
Yeah.
In my town, he ain't kicking here again. But Ray Rice
Sure,
has been
sure.
the Ray Rice has been brought back, carried the flag, been the honored player of the game. So time heals things. I mean, and
Well,
I'm not
that's.
saying it shouldn't, but right here, it's an open wound at 1-5, man. I'll tell you that. JT the Brick, he's got his own problems out there with the Las Vegas Raiders, and I think Pete will straighten it out. I'm on Team Pete Carroll, just so you know.
Good. We need that. We need everybody to get on Pete because it's the right thing to do. And I'll leave you on that. Don't judge a coach or player on the last 4 or 5 games of his career. A guy like Pete Carroll worked his whole life to get to 74 years old and a potential Hall of Famer. You don't judge him on 5 games with the Raiders. You judge him after a while. And just look at Josh McDaniels as the head coach of the Raiders, right? How's he doing right now in New England with Drake May? Pretty good, huh? Really good. He wasn't a great head coach. A lot of these coaches, I don't judge them as coaches. I judge them as human beings. If they're good people, we talk about Geddy and Alex, they're good people. Fans want to be fanatics. They want to rip. They want to go and be cowards on social media. They want to tear everybody down. I've been doing this a long time now. I want to see everybody be successful except my rivals. My rivals, I don't want to see. I don't want to see the Dodgers win because the Dodgers have only won 8 championships and they've been around longer than the Yankees. You get a Dodger fan on your show and they'll act like they're the gift of the globe. They think everything they do is perfection. Yankees got 27 rings. The Dodgers have 8. And they bought Ohtani, deferred his money, really shady stuff. They're playing for back-to-back World Series. Make sure you don't root for the Dodgers because they don't need fans on their bandwagon. And don't root for the Chiefs because Taylor Swift put about 30 to 40 million fans, not 3 to 4 million, 30 to 40 million fans into the revenue stream of the Hunt family, buying jerseys and being fanatics for that because the biggest pop star in the world's dating a tight end on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Engaged now. Come on. He took the knee. When Taylor comes back to Allegiant Stadium, just get me some tickets, at a fair rate. JT the Brick is here. He is covering football. We are covering football together, no matter what the record. Luke is out in Owings Mills. It is bye week around here. I love you, Brick. I got to get back out to Vegas, man. And by the way, I got a spot for you to eat if you haven't eaten here. This was the best meal I've had this year. You've already mentioned that you had eggs in the Cosmopolitan that were overpriced. Chino Poblano. It's Jose Andreas's place. It's on the second floor of the Cosmopolitan. It's 2 doors down from Egg Slot and Mama Fuco. Chino Poblano, Mexican, Asian, fusion. I was so good for lunch, I went back for dinner. How about that, Brick? And very
Wow.
reasonably priced for me for Vegas. I didn't. It was not one of those big ticket things. It was one of the things where everything on the menu is $10 to $15, literally.
Great.
All
Text
right.
it to me so I make sure. I love you, brother. Happy birthday. Happy birthday today. Enjoy the rest of it. Gen strong all the time. We're all Gen strong, especially on your birthday.
Take me to Chino Poblano. I'll love you a long time. He is JT the Brick. He is out in Las Vegas. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.